Good morning, good morning, good morning. I had to say it three times just in case somebody was waking up, you know. Just kidding. Good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. Good to have visitors with us. Good to have the church family with us. Are you glad you're here? Yeah, it's a good place to be. Amen. Worship God, sing together, study His Word together. Well, I think most of you who know me know that since my childhood, I've always enjoyed the delights of summer gardens and orchards. I think some of you might enjoy that too. Do you like food? Yeah, food is important, isn't it? It comes in handy pretty regular. But I've always enjoyed the process of actually growing it. The area that I was raised in, southwest Idaho, was called the Treasure Valley. It was a huge valley where several rivers came together out of the mountains of Idaho, and they all came into eventually running into the Snake River to make the Snake River as large as it is. But anyway, those rivers were dammed up and used for irrigation throughout the valley. The temperature and the climate around where I was raised was very much like this area right here. And we had a lot of desert sagebrush, but that land was claimed and turned into farmland. It was irrigated, and all kinds of different crops were produced in the process of developing that land, starting, my goodness, over a century ago, 200 years ago possibly. When the first settlers moved into that area, the area flourishes with all kinds of food crops, grain crops, seed crops. There are several seed companies that produce the vegetables that you plant in your garden. Some of that seed comes out of the valley where I was raised, the Treasure Valley. Along the Snake River there are all kinds of huge orchards of all kinds of fruit. It was good. During the summer season, we'd go out there several times, pick the different crops of peaches, cherries, apples, pears, all kinds of good stuff. And we did manage to work off all that good food, stayed slim most of the time. Anyway, then we, of course, grew up, moved away. I moved down into the southern part of the state around Deming. I tried to raise potatoes down there in Deming. Oh, I forgot a major product of Idaho. What are we? Potatoes. Yes, we did have potatoes in Idaho. Just a few. Anyway, I tried to raise some potatoes down around Deming, but I was in a little apartment, and I didn't have the right ground or anything. So I got a little disappointed. Then we moved to Lordsburg, and I got back into the farming process, then to Alamogordo. In Alamogordo, I learned that I could raise artichokes. And so I did that for a few years. And some of the neighbor folks, they had some pomegranate trees. Oh, I love pomegranates. I can just sit and pick on pomegranates for hours. Sorry. Come back to reality here. But anyway, then during our years back in Missouri, we had enough rain, constant rain, that I didn't have to irrigate. That was a new adventure for me, not having to irrigate. Wow. But that also meant I had to mow the lawn more often too, pull more weeds, all the other stuff. But the picture here is some of the garden that I had back in Missouri. And I just loved to see how much produce I could that God would bless me with, so I could share it with the church family and share it with people in need. And I also made a little bit of money on the side. People would come by a little vegetable stand we had on the front porch, and it was a free will offering system until the little neighbor boys discovered that there was a pot of money sitting on the table. Then we had to change up a little bit. But anyway, it was a fun thing for me. It was my enjoyment. As you all are probably very aware, there are different harvesting methods for the different types of crops. Now, How many of you have seen a farmer drive his combine through an orchard to pick the apples? That doesn't work very good, does it? Trees and combines don't mix. And then on the other hand, how many of you have seen the farmer go out in his field when the harvest of wheat is ready and go out and pick one kernel of wheat at a time? No, you don't, that doesn't work. You use the combines for the wheat fields, bean fields, all these different types. There are special machines that have been developed to vigorously shake and vibrate the nuts off a tree so as not to fling them off into the sky, but to bring those nuts straight down onto tarps so they can catch them. Cherries and peaches have to be handpicked when they are ripe, not too soon. Although those who, I haven't been to one of these places, but I understand that they pick the bananas really green before shipping them so that they ripen when we get them, not on the ship. How would you like to have a banana, a load of bananas that had gone ripe on you? That wouldn't be very good. Potatoes, they can be left in the ground for a period of time as long as you keep them dry and then harvest them later. But there are some things you've got to immediately pick as soon as they're ready. And the interesting things, you have to treat some vegetables very carefully. Peaches and cherries, you have to be gentle with them. However, apples, you can get a little rougher with them. And digging up potatoes, they run the potatoes over iron bars to knock the dirt off. I don't think a cherry would do very good after all that. You might have a cherry shake or something like that. Harvesting at the right time is also crucial. As I mentioned, bananas have to be picked very early. Many fruits, you want to pick them just as they are ripening and immediately get them to the market. Grain has to be completely matured and dry before you cut it. Lettuce, you want it when it's nice, young, and fresh and crisp. Melons, you want them when they're fully ripe. How many of you want a big, fat, green watermelon? Unless it's a honeydew, you know. There are some exceptions to that, but the methods and timing of food and product harvests are numerous, but many Christians are not really involved with all of that in any way. However, Jesus Christ has called for you to be a farmer, but as a farmer of human lives, to harvest the human souls. And it's been mentioned earlier, Brother Bob shared in his meditation that part of our calling is to go out and to share the gospel and to bring into the church, into the body of Christ, those who are believers in the Lord, and that we need to help each other and encourage each other and motivate each other, keep each other in track in God's will as a family, as one family. Now, we can learn some lessons from crop management and apply those lessons in reaching people. And I want to do that today from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. We also see a similar illustration God uses for the people of Israel in Isaiah, chapter 28. We're not going to take time to read that because we have quite a bit of scripture to follow today. Brother Ray read from John, chapter 4. Verse 35 and following, but let's start at the beginning of the chapter. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. I'm going to be reading kind of fast because there's a lot of material to cover here. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself, his sons, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You've correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband." Ooh, embarrassing. "You have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." Time out. Sorry about that. Verse 25, "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.' At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why do you speak with her?' So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?' They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' So the disciples were saying to one another, 'No one brought him anything to eat, did he?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." From that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." Thank you for bearing with me there. Hope me and my pet frog will behave himself here. Let's have a word of prayer before we go any further. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, to allow us to have everlasting life. We thank you that invitation is open to all who would believe. We thank you for Jesus leaving the perfection of heaven to come and live in this world full of corruption, to show us, to teach us, to be sacrificed in our place, and to conquer the grave in our behalf. Help us to learn from the words of life, from the example we have, that we would be your servants, that we would be your pleasing children, honoring you, serving you, reflecting you, spreading the good news of life through Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the fellowship we can join together in. Now guide us. Let your Spirit speak to our hearts. Guide each of us in the areas that we need instruction. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage, the harvest of souls is not an option for us as Christians. We are commanded to take the message, the information that we do have, out to those around us so that they can learn and have opportunity to come to the same Lord and Savior that we are enjoying. We have what we call the Great Commission recorded in the end of the book of Matthew, the end of the book of Mark, it's referred to in Luke, it's in the introduction of Acts. We have it referred to throughout the New Testament. It's even referred to in the Old Testament. God wants all people to come to Him to find salvation, but it can only happen through the Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's discover some of the harvesting techniques of the Master. You know, so many times we say, you're approaching and say, or you hear, you need to be sharing the gospel with others. And, I mean, just kind of suddenly fear comes over your heart. Now, what do you want me to be a preacher? You want me to give a Sunday school lesson? You want me to teach a class? No, that's not what we're saying. There are things that you can do that God empowers you to do, different methods, different techniques that you can use in your daily life if you are willing to be used by the Spirit of God. And you need to remember that. And so we find some of those listed here in this passage that we have just read. And this is from my understanding. This is my take on it. You may see some things in there that I don't even mention. I would encourage you, because there are a lot of different examples throughout Scripture on how you can approach others and share life with them. But let's learn as much as we can from this passage. I've got 7 different points here, and since there are 7 and a little bit of time left, let's move it. Number 1, always be alert for what is ready to be picked. Doesn't that make sense? You got to go to where the crop is ready. Farmers must be observant of all of their fields and their crops. They don't focus on one end of the field or one particular crop. They observe everything that's out there before them. If you have tunnel vision, it's going to lead to your failure. It's going to lead to disaster, missing the crops that need to be harvested. The maturing of crops and fields must be taken care of as they occur, not when you want them to, but when they are ready. Even in the same field or the same orchard, some things mature faster and they must be cared for in the proper time, in the right time. Jesus went to the areas where his message was welcome. His purpose was to seek and to save what? Those who were lost. He didn't stay in one place and expect everybody to come to him. He went to where there were hungry, lost sheep. Jesus spoke with those who would listen to his message. He didn't force anyone to just sit there and sit in a lecture. You are so kind to sit here today and not argue with me, but you sitting listening. Jesus went to the people who would listen to him and share with them. Sometimes you find success in the least expected places. Not everyone in our area is interested in the gospel. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to hear what you have to say. So are you going to sit there and beat against the shut door? That doesn't make sense. Move on. Find somebody who is willing to listen. A few people are ready. We need to find them. Farmers must be prepared to go anywhere needed. Verses 4 through 7, we see that the harvests continue no matter what the circumstances are. Farmers work all of their ground, the best and the worst. For example, where I was raised, we didn't have perfect soil. We had dirt. That included everything. We had some nice loamy soil. We had caliche. We had sand. We had rocky ground. We had clay. We had everything in our fields, the rolling hills of southern Idaho. But we learned that you just plow it up, fix it up as best you can, and put the seeds in. And if God wants there to be a harvest, it will come. So that's the way the farmer has to treat his land. You don't go out and say, well, there's a rock right there, so I'm going to skip over that. You just keep on planting and keep moving. It was all part of the farm, and every part of it was utilized, even the rocky areas. Jesus knew a harvest in Samaria was ready. Now, Jesus was of the Israelite group. They didn't like each other. Tradition said you don't mix with those other people. And yet Jesus knew that there were Samaritans who would listen. Jews and Samaritans had this 500-year standing hatred for each other, and usually they avoided all contact. But the Lord insisted on traveling through the land. Did you see that in verse 4? He had to go. No, he didn't have to go. There was another way to get around it. But he knew that he had to go through Samaria. People needed salvation. He knew of the numerous people who would believe in his message as Messiah. And Jesus broke through the barriers of hatred and tradition in order to save the souls of those who are ready. We must overcome our prejudices and our biases against people. Our parents, our friends, somebody may tell us, no, you don't want to go over there. But if God says in your heart, you need to go, what are you going to do? You better listen to God and do what he tells you to do. The love of Christ must dominate over our past experiences, over traditions, over our feelings, over economics, over race, over political issues, our age, gender, sporting, our favorite sports teams. Oh, you can't mix with those people. They root for that other team. What? What's more important? Don't we want them to go to heaven? Yes. The Lord paid for every sin of every person. His grace is for all who would believe in him. So we need to share it. Number 3, farmers continue the harvest until they're finished. Ripe crops must be harvested before they spoil. Rot is the result of waiting too long, or outside dangers come in and infest your product. Farmers utilize the machinery, the manpower, and the long hours to harvest their crops at the peak of their ripeness before they rot. Rot is the enemy of the farmer. They don't want it. They have to reap so they're bringing in their crop in the best condition possible. He used familiar circumstances as the starting place to work. He was in a situation. Jesus included this total stranger, this woman who came to the well, in his present need. Jesus was thirsty. And so he thinks, well, I'm going to use this as an illustration. I'm going to help her. Jesus was more concerned about the needs of her well-being than his. Did Jesus ever get a drink out of this whole deal? It doesn't say that he ever got a drink. He was more concerned about helping this woman find her greatest need, her salvation, that he uses his need to motivate her to discover life through him. In the process, he broke past the racial, the gender barriers. He used familiar need of water as the beginning point in this lesson of eternal spiritual life. We must follow God's Spirit to guide us in our witness. We can teach spiritual truths through familiar items used every single day. You women who are good in the kitchen, use your baking experiences on developing witness techniques for fellow bakers. You who are mechanics, use your mechanic experience relating spiritual truths of the Almighty God. And the list goes on and on and on. Whatever you are good at, use it for the glory of God. Our work is not finished until we die or Jesus Christ returns. So you need to listen to the Spirit of God who is indwelling you, motivating you to use your experience, your talent, your knowledge for His glory. Farmers use the resources they have to do the job. I've never seen a farmer neglect his harvest because his equipment was too small, or he needed more hands, or he was jealous because the neighbor got a new tractor. I'm just not going to go out and harvest my crop because of so-and-so. That doesn't work that way. When the harvest is ready, you get up and use whatever you've got and you get moving. Farmers use their knowledge and their tools that they have in the present, and as the opportunity arises and resources allow, then they learn how to improve their harvesting techniques. Then they go out after they got their harvest in and the money in the pocket, and they buy a bigger tractor or whatever they need. Jesus only had a thirst for water. He had a well, and he had one student. He did not have a pulpit. He didn't have a building. He didn't have a scroll. He didn't have a crowd. He didn't have a bucket. But he had a thirst, one student, and a well. And the Lord used his physical thirst to teach a spiritual lesson to this one abnormal, different, unnatural student. Men, especially Israelites, don't mix with Samaritan women. But Jesus did. Because she needed life. Long-term effect, he knew that there would be a large harvest in the end. And we have it recorded for us that almost the whole community, if not everybody, came to believe that he was the Messiah. Christ gives believers his tools to witness to others. You may not have previous experience. You may not have a degree in discipleship. You may not have fancy literature. You may not have the Roman road memorized in your mind. You may not have some guideline, but you have God. You've got His Spirit. You've got your personal story. You have the truth of the Bible. You have fellow Christians. What more do you need? With God before us, who can stand against us? Amen? Every non-believer you are around is a potential student. Remember, you represent the King. So represent Him well. Number five, farmers become familiar with their product. My experience with raising pigs and cows and working on the farm 45 years ago, I know a few things today, and I can answer a few questions, but things have changed over the years. Practices and new medicines and different things. So you may not want to ask me too many questions about farming. And definitely don't ask me how to raise orchids. Don't ask me how to raise blueberries, because I don't know anything about that. And don't ask me to operate a bank, because because I don't know anything about that. But what I do know, I will use. And what you know, you need to use. Farmers do better the more that they learn about their product. The more that they know, the better they can raise it healthy, harvest it at the right time, and market it for the best price. The Samaritan woman tried to sidetrack Jesus. I kind of get tickled with this. She changed the subject when he got to the matter of her moral issues and started accusing Jesus. Well, you people say. And isn't that interesting? She was arguing with the Word of God in human flesh. Jesus knew the Scripture. And he gets past the sidetrack. He doesn't allow that to trip him up. And we need to be careful as we're talking with people that we stay on track with the most important things, the most important salvation matters. Jesus cut to the core of the issue that she and he and everybody needs to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have to do it God's way, the way He ordained. Our love for Christ will motivate us to hunger for His Word. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus will say, when we get to there, He says it already, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." In John chapter 6, verse 63, which is just coming up pretty soon in our studies, Jesus says His words are spirit and are life. If Jesus' words are spirit and are life, in that passage He says you need to eat it. How much? More. How much of God's Word are you eating? How much are you learning of Jesus Christ? I'm pointing this at me just as much as you. Instead of gorging our minds on television, movies, the internet, cell phones, and the world, we need to be spending more time in our Bible and learning the message of God. Are we dedicating time to knowing God's Word, to studying the Scriptures? Many of you are not coming to our Bible studies and things that we have. I would invite you, come join us in growing in the Word of God together as we study the Scriptures together so that we can all glorify God and say, have Him say to all of us, "Well done." Not mediocre done, but well done, good and faithful servant. Let's honor God. And it may not be here. Maybe you're studying with other groups. Praise God for that. But get into the Scriptures. Learn as much as you can of the Word of life. Number 6, farmers prepare for more harvests in the future. Good farmers prepare plans for the future of their fields, their orchards, their livestock, their tools, and the list goes on. Trees have to be pruned, animals have to be vaccinated, fields have to be cultivated, plowed, fertilized accordingly. And the list never ends. A farmer's work is never done. Many crops yield more than one harvest, even in the same year. Hay fields provide multiple cuttings. I like to watch this hay field down the road here by Walmart. I think they need to water that field. It's been a long time. It's looking a little brown out there. And about the time I'm thinking about it, guess what? They're out there watering their field. And I'm thinking, man, it's time to cut that hay. When are they going to cut that hay? Come on, guys. And guess what? There they are, right there in the corner. They have already started when I'm starting to think about it. They know what they're doing. I'm glad they're taking care of that. Chili, cucumbers, tomatoes, other plants can reproduce all summer long. You don't see one chili on a plant and say, "Oh, rip it out of the ground. I got my one chili." I hope you're not. Let me talk to you after church if you're doing that. Anyway, the Samaritan woman was so excited, she told her whole city about Jesus. Come and see the man who knows everything about me, and I just met him at the water well. Her encounter with Christ gave her a new perspective, and she couldn't keep the good news to herself. She had to tell everybody. Sorry about these extra noises here. How excited are we about knowing Jesus? About what Jesus has done in our life? Are we overflowing with the good news? Why not? Does Jesus give us life? Don't we want others to live? Let's share Jesus. Let's tell others so that they can have everlasting life. Number 7, farmers find fulfillment in bountiful harvests, in the results. Many of you have experienced trying to do everything right, working hard, only to have the weather kill your plant, a bug show up, an animal gets a hold of it, or something unexplained, a disease wipes it out. I think I planted 8 tomato plants this spring. 5 of them died almost immediately. What am I doing wrong? And then there's those that produce. Righteous farmers joyously celebrate God's blessings. God owns everything, and He will be recognized either now in this life by our celebration or at the day of judgment when we will finally have to say, yes, You are worthy of all praise and glory. Wise people praise God daily for His blessings. Are you praising God daily for everything He is doing in your life? Rejoicing in Jesus constantly? I hope you are. Jesus found satisfaction in saving many Samaritans from hell. They were destined for eternal condemnation, but because they accepted Him as Messiah, they had new life. God the Father even took care of His physical need in the process. Jesus was hungry before His little teaching session. And when the disciples showed up with food, was Jesus hungry? No. He was full because He'd been busy doing God's work. This is interesting because throughout Scripture there are different instances of where God took care of the physical needs of different people during long periods of serving God. We find it in the case of Moses. He was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. Did he take a sack lunch with him? No. God took care of his need. Elijah. Here, Elijah, eat this food before you go because it's going to be a long ways and you need God's sustenance. Jesus, after walking all morning, hot, thirsty, he doesn't even get a drink, he doesn't get any food, but he's fine because he's been serving the will of his Father. I trust that you will find joy in serving Jesus. Every Christian discovers more blessings as they serve God through Jesus Christ. The more we focus on honoring Jesus as Lord of all, God blesses us more, and we realize how the things of this world are less significant. Our treasures are laid up where? In heaven. So these are just 7 quick harvesting techniques that I have rendered out of this passage. I want to encourage you to trust in Christ and watch for more ways of harvesting techniques as you read through the Scriptures. God has many, and just as there are a variety of people, there are a variety of ways of reaching out with the message of salvation. Let's be honorable servants of Jesus Christ, doing His will. Now, if there are any here today who have not committed your ways to Jesus, we want to just let you know His salvation is for you. He died for you. He went to the cross for you. He conquered the grave for you so that you can have everlasting life. And if you have questions about Jesus Christ, we'd be glad to take time with you and visit with you and answer any questions and help you discover this relationship with Jesus, the Lord of all. Study God's Word. Be open to His Spirit, ready to work the fields. They are white unto harvest. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your word of life. We thank you for the Scriptures. We pray that you would continue to work in our hearts through your Spirit. As we study your word, motivate us, guide us in your truths. As we seek to do your will, we know that you are there. Help us to be willing to listen, to do what you call us to. Help us to harvest the souls of those people who are ready. Not too early and not too late, but in the immediate need of the moment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.